So I know I totally preached on this or one of these passages a month ago. And for others who weren't here, I actually preached on Zacchaeus a year ago, too, as well. And the reason why I'm bringing it back up is because this week I was, not this week, but for the past month, I've just been thinking about some things in this passage. And one of the thoughts that came up is, you know, I wonder what it was like for Jesus' first friends to think about Jesus and reflect upon his life after he went to heaven. You know, think about all the stories, all the things he said and did, all the miracles, all the people he confronted, and all the people that he loved, especially the people that were the most vulnerable, most marginalized, that other people did not think highly of. I'm just thinking about these stories, and you think, what were their favorites? What were they talking about? And it might be, at first, just, if you're like me, images come to mind. You know, sometimes just emotions. When I think of my kids, for instance, there's not images. It's just like an emotion. And then the photos kind of go back and forth with that emotion, you know? But with Jesus, what was it? Was it maybe the picture of him with the little kids? You know, just, no, let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Be childlike. You know, was that what they were thinking of? Was it more words, especially when you have not just the words of Jesus, but now through God's Holy Spirit, they're beginning to write down, the apostles are beginning to write down Jesus' words for us to have as Holy Scripture, to be able to follow as the inerrant, accurate word of God. And, you know, were they thinking of Jesus' words saying, when you pray, pray like this, our Father, who art in heaven. And were they just kind of like these word things, you know, this like Facebook word thing that was just coming to their mind that they didn't have the coding for back then to put a JPEG up on, you know. So what was going through their minds? And then especially when they're looking through Luke. Yeah, Luke is very structured. He's a doctor, educated. He didn't just kind of put things in chronology, but he also put things together in themes. You know, take a chapter in Luke, and it's like way so much longer than a chapter in Mark. You know, Mark just is like, boop, 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 this happens. You know, because Mark got it from Peter, and Peter was like, yeah, that happened. It was good. You know, and then this happened. That was good. Yeah, that happened. Man, that was really good. You know, but Luke was just kind of pondering things over the years, and he put this. I've taken this account to write to you about these things that Jesus said and done. I couldn't put everything into this book, but I'm going to put, you know, as God leads me, as God inspires me. And as these first followers were studying, and they didn't have necessarily chapter 18 and 19. And in fact, it starts with Jesus talking about the theme of being rich and how that's not a very good position. In chapter 14, you know, it talks about when you give a banquet, don't just invite other rich people. When you're at a banquet, don't try to take the rich seat, the highest seat. And then in 16, he talks about, you know, Lazarus and the rich man. But then in 17 and 18, there's these two stories back to back. And they now are only put here back to back as sort of a illustration, you know, like a writer's little trick. But they also happened pretty much back to back. And Jesus entering one town, entering this rich young ruler, and then entering another. What is God getting at? There's something happening. And you know, usually when a sermon is preached to you, if it's not topical, where they're pulling from a lot of different places, they have one like thing they want to say to you, you know, topical thing. If it's more exegetical based on a passage, right? Like, you know, Dennis is typically verse by verse exegetical, hitting you with that, and you can follow it. The structure's there, and the preaching comes from that. You know, you can get a certain message, but then when you sort of sit, like, just peel back a little bit, and maybe perhaps like the first followers of Jesus did, they are thinking about, what's Jesus saying? And especially, remember the rich young ruler, which we still don't know his name, and then Zacchaeus, you got short Zacchaeus, remember that story? And they're just thinking about this. And when you focus on one passage, let me check the time here. When you focus on one passage, you can kind of like say, oh, you know, I got it. And especially in these passages, I was like, I got it. There's things going on here. You know, you have the camel and the eye of the needle. You can sort of get stuck there, let alone Jesus mentioning like what's impossible with people is possible with God. And then if you leave your wife, son, husband, brother, sister, mom, father, that's the only way you can really gain them in the life to come and in this life. It's like okay, that's a lot, but I think I got it, right? And then you could see Zacchaeus, and just a picture of him up on a tree. You got it up there? And it's just a grown man up in a tree, you know. So I know like grown girls, young women that still climb trees, right? But, you know, and it's cool, it's fun. I'm not going to get up in a tree. I'm going to sprain my ankle, bust my back, you know, peel my, it's like no way. But a grown man up in a tree, you can really get stuck on that. And it's like, oh, he's given away all his possessions to the poor. I think I got it. I think what, you know, I heard a sermon on that, and that's been giving me life for a long time. That's one of my favorite passages. But when you take these two together, in fact, you just take this theme of Luke, you could pretty much say from chapter 14 to about 19, Jesus really getting at this theme of the rich. You see that there's something that Jesus is trying to communicate to us about the wealthy, about being rich. And I think that what Jesus was getting at, you know, when you take these two things together, is that, and especially juxtaposed amongst, you know, this theme of being wealthy and having it like that, is that Jesus was given this special opportunity to share this message. And in fact, not just share any message, I believe that Jesus is sharing like the quintessential thing that makes him who he is, that makes God what God is. That he is sharing the great thing about himself. And it is not easy to understand. And cults have started from simplifying this thing to misunderstanding it, to taking one side of it and not fully taking how incomprehensible it is and just letting it rest with our spirit. But when you hear it, even though it doesn't necessarily make full sense, it just rests right with your soul. You guys know what I'm talking about? Certain truths in the Bible. And I think what Jesus was getting at is like, look, I'm trying to share in the backdrop of this immense wealth, these two wealthy people, rich people, that what I am all about is community. I'm all about relationship. I'm all about beloved community of knowing and being known. That intimacy that you just cannot get like outside a part of God, to the richness and level of depth that you can with God. And that the closer you get with God, the less you get away from the eye. The eye is completely still there. But get all that much closer. Don't worry, you'll never lose the eye. That self-centeredness, selfishness, well, you need not worry. But the whole we, I mean, you just get closer. And the reason why Jesus is all about that, it's because that's simply who God is. That's who Jesus is revealing to people in a situation that naturally would reject it and not understand it. He is revealing to them who he and what he really is. That God is three persons. God is a we. God is three persons. It says in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, God in the Godhead there are three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Equal in power, same in substance. Equal in power and glory, same in substance. Three are one God. That's who God is. God, at our best, he wants us in the kingdom to love people and to love God. God wants us to love people, love God, right? It's been said plenty of times. God loves people. And God, in turn, loves himself. God loves himself. God loves himself. And God can say that and not have it just sound like kind of weird. You know, God loves himself. Because God is three persons. Three. Let us create God in our image. Go there, making friends. Having them follow me in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, the Spirit of the waters. It's just... God is three persons, and that's something that he's revealing with us. And in the backdrop of, you know, the rich young ruler and Lazarus, he's giving this essential, most important thing in the kingdom of God. And he's just laying that you're presenting your riches, your best of humanity. I'm presenting the best of God. And the more you work closer to God, the more you're going to get close to this. I see all this, and it's within that contrast that I wanted to just bring the message this morning and unpack the rich young ruler once again, and Zacchaeus as well. So Let's get into it. I mean, the rich young ruler, what happened? It's a very well-liked young man, rich, came to Jesus and say, Jesus, what's good? I'm good, you good, we're all good. And Jesus said, no, it ain't good. And he's like, oh, okay. And he says, if you think it's good, then why don't you just go ahead and do these things? Go get right with people. Love your mother, father, don't lie, steal, cheat, murder. Get good with people. Oh, cool, I've been good with people since I was a boy, since before my bar mitzvah. I've been good with people. Okay, I see you still don't get, let me make it plain to you. One thing you lack then, go sell everything you own, give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then you can be with me. Then you'll be good. Oh. Walks away. Jesus looks at him with love. Everybody in the crowd is just astonished. Jesus says, capitalizes on the point. Not saying it for the man been walked away. How hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. All the people are astonished because they just think he's the best that society has to offer. You know, the type of rich dude that everyone looks up to, that's down with the community, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Are you serious? If he can't get into heaven, then who can? What's impossible with people is possible with God. That's the story. Let's break it down a little bit. This guy was bold enough to approach Jesus, not just bold enough to approach Jesus, to ask him, to have a bevy of questions ready there for him, okay? He thought he was okay. He thought he was good. He thought he was ready. What he was looking for was not necessarily like salvation out of desperation, even though he had that loneliness too that Zacchaeus had. He was more looking for affirmation. Is it good? Am I good? I just need your affirmation because I feel like I'm good. Moving on to Zacchaeus. Jesus enters Zacchaeus, and there's similarities between the two. And the first similarity that I really like about the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus is that it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with Jesus. Is that Jesus is really accessible. You know, Jesus specifically went to the poor, the marginalized, you know, those that were the lowly in society, but also to the rich, the teachers, the rulers. He was accessible to them. And in their own ways, the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus found their way to Jesus, and they had access to him. But Zacchaeus, he would not dare ask Jesus a question. He didn't even approach Jesus. He was up in a tree. He didn't think he was okay. He was desperate. He was not well-liked by people. In fact, you could say he was the worst of society. It's funny, you can be rich and you can still be viewed as the worst of society. I mean, we have some of those people in power right now. You know, the worst of society. That's who Zacchaeus was out there. And these people, you know, when they bring up to him, this guy, Jesus is going to be the guest of a sinner. He's going to be the guest of a sinner. He must not know. What's Jesus doing? Zacchaeus stands up. He takes his moment, Zacchaeus' moment. He says, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, covered on one side. The other half, if I've wronged anybody, cheated and lied, stole from anybody, I'm going to pay you back four times the amount. I don't know how the math works on that, compound interest. You know, somebody else needs to, you know, work on that with me, but it's like somehow he was going to make it right. Maybe he was going to live the rest of his life, you know, in ministry to the Lord. What did he do? He was giving Jesus the opportunity to put it on the line, to forgive him and to put it on the line for Zacchaeus. And that's exactly the opportunity that the rich man just could not go to the place of. Young man was, I'm rich. I can't leave the security. See what wealth and riches, money, the pursuit of it, what it does to us is it brings us to a place where we're good, we're secure, we're able, we're safe, we're strong, we're powerful. If we're not respected, we can buy the respect. We can buy friends. Essentially, we're in a place where we don't really need God that much. And so I'm not talking about just being rich. I'm talking about having the spirit that which is rich. And when you have that spirit, it's hard to allow God into your life to need God. Now, the reason why I think Jesus, you know, in Luke here, in 18 and 19, through the ruler And Zacchaeus is really contrasting what's going on with him and trying to bring his essence to the forefront. It's because when you do have wealth and riches, when you are in that place, there's just something about that that it's like, I mean, what I'm saying is like, you can have a rich spirit and not be rich, right? But most of us are not fools. And we understand, you know what? I have a lot of struggle. I have a lot of need. And we may not put that out there to people because we don't want to show people our weaknesses. But on the side, we understand. But there's something about being rich, you know, just having it, that naturally hides what God is trying to reveal here about himself. It's that wealth and having it, both having the wealth and the rich spirit, it ultimately, like, it's the ultimate end of this individualistic attitude. It started in the garden. It's about me. I'm going to put myself in the center. And whether you're not rich and you just think that, whether you're on the pursuit of it, whether you're in that place, the individualism just completely engulfs us to a place where, let me just give a few examples, and I'll check my time here. And my notes. It's really difficult to have relationships. Relationships are difficult because people hurt us. When we hurt us, our natural reaction is to flinch and to protect. And then it's just sort of sitting out there with that natural inclination to protect, to sort of like pursue power. And the easiest way to pursue power so that you're not hurt like that again is money. And when you have this money, it's the fastest way to buy things and make people into things, to dehumanize people, and to just end up in a place where, you know, it's this lonely, lonely road where you can't get out of. And Jesus encountering the rich young ruler, he's being so gracious with him. You're coming at me with this pride that you just don't know that you have. And I'm just trying to come back and speak the words that you might understand, this legalistic words of go, be good to people. And when he said, I've done that, it's like, no, you don't understand. He was trying to free him. It's like, the only way you're ever going to understand relationship is if you get this money, this pride out the way. And you have to take that chance at Zacchaeus' moment. Zacchaeus had that moment, but the difference was Zacchaeus was just in a place of desperation where when he had his moment, he was able to let it go. It actually all crystallizes in the beginning of chapter 18. Luke does, when he sort of tells a parable, shares a parable that Jesus told. He says, Jesus noticed that all these different people were, you know, trying to be better than one another. And Jesus saw that. And he saw people, you know, really cutting each other off. And he said, let me share with you guys a parable. You see, there was two people. One was a Pharisee, like this rich young ruler. One was a tax collector. The Pharisee came in and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like all these other people. Robbers, killers, adulterers, and even like this tax collector here. I thank you, God, that, you know, that I fast twice a week. I go to church, have my quiet time, didn't say all that, but basically that's what he was saying. I do this stuff, people see me, I have people's respect. And then this other man was just, couldn't even look up at God. And finally, when it was his turn to speak, probably took a long time, he beat his breast, and he said, God, have mercy on me. I'm not well. Have mercy on me. I'm not well. You see, that was the essential difference between Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler. You see, they had the similarity of both having the trap of money, that rich spirit, making it feel like things are okay, and going with what's in this world. You know, sometimes it's a weird thought, but I just kind of think in my bed, I'm like, well, maybe there really is no God, and if there really is no God, you know, I just need to sort of pursue this path and just, you know, do what I want to do. But in order to do what I want to do, I need to fortify myself with some resources, aka money, to be able to do. You know, you just kind of start going down that path. Some of you might not like go there. I go there sometimes, you know. What Zacchaeus had was just this thing of, I see you, Jesus, in front of me. And there's this moment in which I see that path, but I see what you're leading towards, and I'm going to take it. And I think when Jesus said to him that salvation has entered this house, I think what he was saying is you're not going to go into heaven and get real riches of gold. When you're entering into heaven, you're entering into the fold, into beloved community. And that's why Jesus ends with saying, because this here too is a child of Abraham. Everybody else thought you weren't. You were excommunicated once you started snitching and doing everything for the government and to our oppressors. But what I'm saying is this man, as rich as he was, and as the same sort of, even more in your eyes than this rich young ruler had, made a choice for me to make this decision. You know, whenever I kind of hit this moment of like kind of saying, wow, Lord, you know, and kind of understanding a little bit, meditating on it as I have. I mean, basically spend this past month, you know, God, you really want this of us. That's how serious you are. And sometimes I have fears like, oh, you're leading us into sort of this collective Borg, you know, where it's like I lose myself, my identity, my mind, you know, God, where are you really serious about, you know, you really are serious about leading us into, you know, who you are, and to the triune God. You know, I come to a place of like really wondering, Lord, how do I get there? How do I be more like Zacchaeus and less like the rich young ruler? Because I have those same tendencies of protecting me, fortifying myself. How do I, you know, think first off, it takes, you know, not fooling ourselves. What do they say? The first step to recovery is stopping the lying and admitting that you have a problem, right? But I think we as Christians, as church folk, really take it to another level, hiding stuff. We say, oh, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm really going to be humble. I'm going to work harder than everybody else. And really, to tell you the truth, I'm smarter than everyone too. I won't let that be known though. And we say that, doing that inside, while our heart just continues to harden and harden. You know, it's like going into the ministry. I don't know if it's happening as much in the past few years, but there was a period of like 15 years where every single time I heard someone who wanted to go into ministry, the next thing they say is, I want to be a pastor. But it's like not just being a pastor, like, and when they had pastor, they wanted to be up here preaching. That's the only thing that, you know, it wasn't like the hospital visits, calls in the middle of the night, being there when people die, and, you know, really just having the community's concerns on your heart and cutting through, praying all the time. It was just like, no, I want to be up here preaching, telling people what's up, you know? And it's not just doing that, but it's like, I want to be the best pastor. I want to reach the top. I want to be a good speaker, preacher, leader, manager, CEO, fundraiser, all that stuff, you know. And it's like, we just aren't comfortable with being ourselves, what we're good at, what we enjoy doing, understanding life is short and you have plenty of opportunities to die unfulfilled and lonely. And that's what this pursuit does to us. And that's what having money around, it just brings us to this kingdom-speaking weak place where we don't know where God is, we don't know who God is. And other people, it magnifies because other people see us as strong. So we got to step in and be strong, right? And so all of a sudden we're perpetuating something that we didn't intend to perpetuate. And it keeps on happening. So it's this thing of like stop fooling ourselves and really coming to a place of saying, God, you know, I want you. And it just goes back to the gospel of like understanding what God did for us. That he is complete. Three in one, one in three. But yet he said, let us make man in our image and share this. Yet we broke that relationship with God, and we no longer have that connection as a whole, as humanity. We don't have that beloved community that we so desire, and we fill it with this other stuff. God had chose to leave himself, Jesus, come to earth to live a perfect life, to be with us, to show, just like he did with these rich men, just like he's doing through testimonies to us, through the preaching of other people's lives, to understand who God is and to accept the forgiveness. That's what God has to offer us. It's not a perfect life. It's forgiveness. It's grace. And we get this. And through that, we're able to step in to beloved community. And we're able to live this life with Jesus and pray for people and love our enemies. Love our enemies, what? I mean, that's when this really comes up. Because that's what started this whole thing on this path. Like, you know, a child is a child, wants to grow up and love all people. We are the world, right? We are the world, you know, it's just, we want to go that way. But as soon as they get hurt, broken, we as adults got to teach them, oh, no, you got to fortify yourself, son. Oh, daughter, you got to protect yourself. And I'm not saying don't have those talks with your children, but that mentality of going that direction starts with an enemy, an adversary who's getting at us. And we're supposed to pray for enemies? We're supposed to love our enemies? No, I don't want to. No, I can't. You don't understand. You know, God understands, but we tell people, you don't understand. They just really want to be better than me, and they want me to bend the knee to just say that they've won. That's always how it is. And we're so busy getting caught up, locked horns, arguing with our enemy when we could be talking to God. And maybe I won't use enemy because you're Christians, you don't have enemies, right? So I just use challenges, challenging people in your life, adversaries, right? And I know I think about this stuff, man. And one time, I mean, it was just like 6 months ago, I almost just like turned my neighbor upside down because he called me the B word. You know, it's like, how is my neighbor calling me the B word? So I got to get out there and I got to confront him. And it's like, love your adversaries. Like, no, I don't want to. And just like that, get on somebody. You know, and we can do that. But that's just a slight, you know, we hugged it out, this and that. It's like somebody who's really, really getting at you. And I got no answer for that besides just once again coming back to the gospel, reflecting, thinking about what God did for us, that while we were still enemies, God loved us. And as we reflect upon that, and not just reflect, as we receive that forgiveness in our own lives, somehow, some way, the chemistry in our hearts that goes up to our mind and not just through the blood is something spiritual, helps us pray for our enemies and not go back on that path where we tell our son and daughter, fortify yourself, protect yourself. You gotta get money and have money on your mind. We don't say that, but that's in one way or another, that's how it gets translated. And instead we can say, there is a good God who's all about the we, that loves you, has big promises, is already working out, is gonna work out. Continue to leave your heart hope open. Continue to sometimes let people take your kindness for weakness and take advantage of you. Continue even sometimes to be so vulnerable that you can get hurt. Continue to just completely go all the way. And what I mean by that is that Zacchaeus went all the way. He did not do a half-step measure. And I think we have Zacchaeus moments in our lives where we sort of, you know, and we're counting the cost, but the consequences are preventing us from really jumping in. You know, there's like stupid things, like in Tahoe, I just jumped into the water and I almost drowned. I'm like a really great swimmer, right? You know, you don't count the cost of it. There's other stuff where you count the cost, you see the consequences, but because you have faith in God and God's been that good to you, you jump in. And I think that we as a church, we as people just need more of that. And I get inspired when I see that, when I see people going all the way on a given situation. Dude, you're giving up your house. You're giving up your job. You're giving up half your income. Man. And you know, it's not like God asked for this. Zacchaeus is, you know, all the time. But when you have that Zacchaeus moment, take it and be radical. Go all. I'm not sure what it is for you. I just have these examples here. And I hear it from time to time. When I do, I just try to, you know. I think I'm pretty much done. I just, You know, God wants us to pray to him as one God, as the Lord. He doesn't want us to pray for him like, dear Holy Spirit, dear Jesus. I mean, you can, but it's like, our Father, pray to God as one. Why is that? Well, it just shows how tight, how unified God is. That he can be three persons, three separate, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yet they're same, they're just, they're and so tight that we hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One God that we can just pray to him. And that's what God's calling us into, is that type of beloved community. And we see in all the pictures of the Trinity, the three rings, the egg, the water, the ice, all that. You know, none of it fully expresses. It's just something that God is wanting us to enter into. And when we have this opportunity, this challenge of like seeking the wealth of this world, it's like, it's within that backdrop that we have this immense opportunity to say, God, I see the best of who you are. And it's wonderful. It just sits right with my soul. Let's pray. Just write Damon back up too. God, we really thank you for, you know, just who you are, this message. It's just really amazing. It's just something, Lord, that we just know that we're not going to be able to fully understand in our lifetime, but it's something that we can continue to discuss with one another, just like, you know, the early church, the believers were discussing with each other. It's like, no. It's not just that, you know, God appeared in three different persons, or it's not that, you know, Jesus is not really God, or, you know, no, they constantly came back to you being three persons, yet the same in substance, equal in power and glory, and you want us to worship you as one simply because that's who you are, and that's the best, Lord. You want us to enter into that, Lord. So you know the path that we're on, God, each of us individually, and the path of going down, maybe some of us on this on the I route, just, you know, it's just I for the millionth time, I, and Lord, wake us up, open up our eyes, let us know when we're lying to ourselves and other people, have people speak to us, Lord, let us know that we need to be accountable, Lord. And God, if you've just been preparing us for a Zacchaeus moment, that you just know that there's something big brewing, that you just got our backs, and you're going to be there for us. You've been there for us. You continually show that. And while all these other people are talking stuff about us, like we're this, we're that, and we know that some of it could be true if they really know us, but they can't speak on us like that, Lord. That you, Lord, are just completely engulfing, covering us, and loving us. And there's something that you just want us to enter into that has everything to do with you and loving people and knowing and being known. We just love you that you're just such a great God. You have us enter into that. That's what why you give us the gift of spouses and family and friends that are like family, Lord, and blood, thicker, Lord. We love you. We ask for more. We just ask that you might help us to enter more and more into this. And just leave, you know, some of these other things that really skew our view of you and the world and harden our hearts to the side, Lord. We thank you so much. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will enter this room even more. In Jesus' name, amen.